This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yo, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
And welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios in Marietta, Georgia. This week, we're talking with Oscar Blues Brewery. I am Tim Dennis, and with me as always is my good friend and co-host, Brian Hewitt.
Hey, Tim. So joining us today, we have Juice Drapeau, the head brewer of Oscar Blues, and Aaron Baker, their senior marketing manager. And we also have with us in studio Brian Crass of Rock Solid, founder, head brewer, bottle cleaner,
everything.
Janitor. All of the above. Yeah. Drinking some beers with us. Yeah. So we're going to talk about smash beers, big barrel-aged beers, the latest releases, and death by various delicious things. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having
us. The Death By series, that's a fun one, man. We enjoy.
Indeed.
We enjoy that. All the Death By Coconut.
All those delicious fatalities. I'm on board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Later in the show, we've already been, one of our favorite things to do is to give terrible ideas for beers and beer names. So we will make sure to share some of our brilliance with you guys today on the show.
Nice. So. That'll be unique because we all only have good ideas.
All so good ideas, man. That's the way you got to do it.
And Juice only picks good names. So
there you go. I mean, with a name like Juice, you know it's going to be good. It's going to be solid. It's going to be solid stuff there.
Usually I think of a name and then I make it a lot more PC and it works. So
okay. That's
the starting point, you know.
But. Yeah.
Perfect.
When you say a name and everybody just kind of silent, they're like, okay, okay, can we get some more ideas here?
Tough crowd, you know?
Like, right?
Tough crowd.
No respect, man. No respect. Well, guys, as we are dipping into the Oscars Lager here, and we love beers like this now, man. These drinking beers, drinkable beers. We're big fans. So tell us a little bit about Oscars Lager here.
So basically, you know, for the last few years, we've been talking about developing a really, really, you know, low-carb, low-calorie lager that was still packed with plenty of flavor, you know, still had a nice mouthfeel, which is really difficult to do when you're controlling the type of carb and alcohol input in beer. What we did is we did a lot of trials. We incorporated a lot of different some adjuncts, some rice, and we decided we come up with like an all-Pilsner malt with a little bit of dextrose and a little bit of rice syrup. It's easier to handle in the brew house, and with the combination of various enzymes, it gets us down to a very, very, very dry, very crisp beer that we're able to have in our legal ramifications of the calories and carbonation and carbohydrates as well.
Good stuff. I'm down for that. Local brewery here, Halfway Crooks, their lager hats have been popular across the country. They are doing Czech beer days right now. And we went down. They've got a really nice beer garden, really big beer garden. And we went down, sat in the beer garden. I think it was, mid-70s and a little breeze.
Oh, it was beautiful. Little tree cover as well, so no real strong direct sun either. It's very nice.
But they had a 3.9% Czech pills on that you could just set in the beer garden and crush all day. So one of those, that was good stuff, man. That's always a good time.
The big foamy pours, too. Oh, delightful.
Yeah. Juice, when you're
going. I wish that we had this beer because a few years back we were a sponsor of NASCAR. We were the first craft brewery in NASCAR, and I would have to go over to Charlotte Motor Speedway from our brewery in Brevard and spend like 5 days pouring beer out there for the thirsty NASCAR fans. And obviously Dale's Pale Ale was what we were leading with the most. And you could see because of Dale Earnhardt and Junior, wanted to love the beer so much, but that crowd, anything with any sort of flavor, they really have a hard time with. So I really wish that we had this beer for them because, you know, it's still got a lot of flavor for what it is. But it's definitely that easy drinking, NASCAR beer.
That's what I was going to say. You know, I I appreciate the NASCAR sponsorship, but that was kind of an odd matchup there, you know, for the beer and those yeah. folks there, you know. Like you said, they wanted to love it. They wanted to love Dale's, but maybe just a little too punchy for your average NASCAR fan.
Yeah, I mean, it was still fun. And honestly, like, I was pleasantly surprised by – we did it for, I think, 4 or 5 years in a row. And we would set up in the same spot in the fan zone outside the stadium or the racetrack, I should say, every year. And we would have people come back and be like, you know, I don't drink any craft beer, but I love the, you know, Pinner or Mama's Little Yellow right. Pills or sure. one of the ones we were bringing. And they would come back for it every year. So we did win some people over.
Good stuff. But yeah, that's one at a time, man. One at a time.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
Brian, you said at your brewery there at Rock Solid, it's a drink and beer kind of place, right?
Oh, yeah. We're up in, you know, North Georgia, a little outside of the beaten path.
Yep.
And they love the Crispy Boys.
Bring the Crispy Boys, man. Yep. I can't argue with that.
Are there a lot of racetracks out there?
Not that I know of. Okay. I think Gainesville might have one.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of race fans there, I would bet.
Probably. Oh, yeah. So,
that's the heart of it right there,
indeed,
for sure.
Indeed. Well, Tim, I think it's time for us to get into the beers of the week.
Now it's time for our beers of the week. Brought to you by The Nest. Craft beer and barbecue in downtown Kennesaw, Georgia. TheNestKennesaw.com.
Well, Brian, this is going to surprise you, but we've got a pretty nice list of beers to
what?
Get into this
oh,
week.
Finally.
Yes, yes. And I want to thank The Nest for sponsoring this segment. Brian, two of our favorite people are getting together this month. It is Ironmonger Month at The Nest.
Oh, how about that?
They're going to be doing a tap takeover there, 4 to 5 taps. And coming later in the month, they'll have Perfect Pole, which is a collaboration between Ironmonger and Apotheos Roastery, which is part of the Nest family of businesses there. And that is a 6.7% Mexican chocolate coffee stout. I'm told it's pretty coffee forward, Brian.
I'm on board. Let me have
what
some.
Do you think about that? But
I
today,
love the idea.
Today in studio, as we mentioned, we're drinking Oscar's Lager. We also have Thick Haze Northeast IPA on deck, Guava Rodeo, which is a guava sour with tangerines, and Smash Stash IPA. Juice, it's been a minute since I've seen a Smash beer.
Yeah, and, you know, so, you know, I run the original Lions location, and throughout that facility, we do all the R&D brewing. What we do is we like to feature a single hop, and that really allows us to dig deep into what that particular hop does, whether it's used heavily in a Whirlpool edition or you know, how many pounds per barrel does the dry hop really work for that particular hop. So we started doing these smash beers and developed a series that was, you know, available in our tap rooms and kind of got a lot of attention just through tap room, and then allowed us to learn what some of these hops and how they kind of carry themselves through in these beers.
Fun stuff, man. I love it.
I think they're still popular with homebrewers because it's
yeah.
a great way
it's
to experiment.
It's a good way to experiment
there.
Yeah, find out what you got. And, of course, there's some rock solid beer in the house. It's rock
indeed.
Solid.
Indeed.
And I see one I'm excited, Coconut Cajones.
Coconut Cajones.
That may be our nightcap beer, Brian.
Yeah.
We may have
yeah,
to
that's,
crack that one
that's
for the
one
nightcap.
You don't want to start with.
Right, right. But lots of good beer here today. And, Brian, why don't you tell us what's happening in the news?
What's in the news? The beer guys have the scoop.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Time for headlines.
Okay, we've got scandals in the beer news. Brewbound reports that a, quote, tidal wave of sexual harassment allegations have hit the brewing industry this past week. It all started with Brianne Allen's Instagram account called Rat Magnet, where she began sharing stories of people from across the industry that are experiencing workplace discrimination or have experienced it, and sexual harassment. The accounts grew quickly, and I don't have an exact number of how many they're up to, but it's over 1,000 or around 1,000 at this point. Amongst those named in the accounts so far are Sean Hill of Hill Farmstead Brewery, the founder of Tired Hands Brewing Company, Modern Times Brewery, and Connecticut Valley Brewing. The brewery responses to the accusations have been varied. Sean Hill says in a statement that he released that the accusations are, quote, unsettling and that they're untrue. The founder of Tired Hands has stepped down, and Modern Times fired one of their members of their staff and is planning on training the rest of the staff. So
I believe I saw recently that Modern Times CEO resigned.
Did he?
So I think that is the latest update. And boy, I hope I'm not wrong on that, because that would be a terrible thing to say and misquote.
Yeah.
But
somebody I know was outright fired, you know, and I don't think it was the CEO. I think it was somebody in marketing, perhaps. I'm not trying to avoid names because these are, of course, all allegations. I don't know if they're true. Like, based upon the sheer number of them, some of them have got to be true.
Sure.
So that's
you don't
all
see
I'm
that
saying.
Kind of.
So,
I mean, I think we all know that this stuff exists out there.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, hopefully this can bring some light to where we can address it going forward.
Agreed.
Was that all we got time for, Nate? Is that it? All right. Well, you're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We do have to take a break, but we'll be back very soon with more from Oscar Blues.
Have you ever thought about owning your own brewery but don't know what it takes to get one built? We're Storytime Construction, and we build breweries. We're Georgia's most experienced and hands-on contractors when it comes to building new breweries and tap rooms or expanding existing breweries. We offer full build-outs, remodeling, and additions, as well as consulting and construction management. Give us a call at 770-733-4343. Storytime Construction. We build breweries.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand, so if you missed the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now, let's get back to Oscar Blues Brewery.
Oscar Blues Brewery. Guys, we just got into Smash the Stash. And for those that don't know, a smash beer, we've homebrewed, we've dabbled, so we know all about the smash. But what is a smash beer?
Well, I mean, it's an acronym for single malt and single hop. So, it's, you know, once you know what those letters, you know, mean and for the word, you'll start to see this phrase and word around a lot of breweries. It's a way for a brewery to make a beer using one single hop of origin and then one particular grain of their choice. So
the smash the stash, what is the malt and hop in this one?
Okay, so the malt is a pale Genie variety malt from Root Shoot Malting Company, giving them a shout out from Loveland, Colorado. It's actually an award-winning pale malt, and it just has incredible Colorado terroir flavor to it. A little hint of color, so you get that nice golden hue.
Yeah.
Without imparting any type of complex sugars to the beer, so it finishes very dry and very crisp and very clean. So it's been a favorite of mine to use on a small scale for the last 4 to 5 years.
I just realized that I'm missing a word on this can. I think I've been saying smash stash. This is smash four stash.
Because it's for a purpose.
It's for a purpose.
Yeah.
Right. Aaron, this feels like an Aaron question here. What is the purpose of Smash for Stash?
Yeah, so it's an organization called Stash Strong, which supports brain cancer research. And Lou McKercher, who is the manager of all four of our tap rooms all over the country. So we have two in Colorado, one in Austin, and then one here in Brevard, North Carolina. He had a good friend who was affected by brain cancer. And so this is kind of his baby in a way, working with this organization. And then, you know, giving a percentage of the sales, to them. And then actually, you know, having the name of the beer actually harken back to that nonprofit as well. So.
Yeah, for sure. I always love seeing beers for a cause, beers for a purpose there. So.
Sure. Yeah. We're going to drink. We might as well do a good thing on top of drinking,
right,
which I think is already a good thing.
Exactly. But
double down on the goodness.
Exactly.
Sure. Might as well. We were talking a little off the air about smash beers, and we remember when Golden Promise was a popular one to use as the malt. And Maris Otter, man.
Yep.
Maris Otter Mosaic, that was a popular combo there for a good while.
So, Juice, you've been doing a bunch of smash stuff in your facility where you're doing a lot of research. Like a year's worth of smash beers or even more, right?
I mean, I've been at the, you know, running the facility of the R&D program for the last 6 years. And we've been doing it for the last 6 years, trying to get one done every couple months or so. You know, all those heavy hitter hops like Citra and Mosaic, Galaxy, that are very popular. We've done some smaller batches with hops like Cashmere when it first came out, or Grundgeist, a new German hop that's noble. So just to see how weird these hops can get when you push the limits of using them in an IPA. So this particular hop that's in this variation, the Smash for Stash, is the Sabro hop. And if you've had Sabro before, you know, I mean, it's very, very obvious hop with that lime and coconut characteristic that comes from it. And this hop has led to the development of this hop has led to a potential future cannabis variation called Cannabis Tiki, where we'll use the Sabro and the Brew One and other types of really tropical hops to kind of create a tiki style type hopped IPA cannabis variation. So, you know, all this work that we do, you know, leads to potential large scale production.
Yeah, I'm sure any brewer that brews because they love to brew, that's the fun stuff, right? You can crank out a How big is your production batches now? What size is your brew house there?
Our production facility in Longmont, Brevard is a 50-barrel brew 50 house. 50-barrel,
yeah.
There's only a small amount of 100-barrel fermenters, but mostly 200-barrel fermenters. So we're looking at four turns to fill those up. I produce 10-barrel batches. So
okay.
We've got 300-barrel fermenters here in Brevard.
That's right.
300-barrel.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And we've got sort of a double-barrel shotgun style mash tun of 250-barrel kind of side by side, so they can mash in, you know, one on each side to fill those 300-barrel fermenters faster.
That's something. I don't remember the size, but I remember when Sweetwater was the biggest ones I'd ever seen. They've got massive tanks there. And then I went up to Asheville area and did the Sierra Nevada tour.
Those are wild. Those are like, they extend from the floor outside of the building, right. You know, rising like towers. It's crazy.
They've got their own zip codes.
Right. I mean, they had a hops room there at Sierra Nevada that you could play in batches that were probably more than some small breweries used in a year in hops. And they just had them in there for the fans to come through and mess around in.
That place is pretty wild.
It's crazy. It is. Yeah.
We're fortunate to be nearby them, and they've actually been closed down throughout the pandemic.
Right.
Their tap room, so we get a lot of folks coming to the tap room here because we're only 15 minutes away. You know, that wanted to go to Sierra, but we've been open. We've got a great outdoor patio, outdoor bar with 32 taps, so we've been open, you know, the whole time pretty much. We were shut down in the beginning, but
it's been interesting, you know, talking through this when the pandemic first started, like maybe the first month, of course, every brewer we talked to, that's what we wanted to talk about because it was the hot topic. Then maybe 5 or 6 weeks in, the guys are like, can we talk about anything except COVID? Yeah. I'm like, absolutely, man.
Yeah.
I feel you. Sure enough, they're like, it's
we don't need to be reminded about this. We see masks every day, all day. So
they're like, they told us 3 months ago we had to do this for a month, and now we're here. So, but it's nice, you know, infection numbers are dropping. More people are getting vaccinated, so we're working back towards it. Like I said, we got to spend a Saturday in a beer garden. Which is something we haven't done in a while, so that was nice.
It's very nice. It's very nice. You know, you mentioned earlier the Can of Bliss series, and I have to admit, I'm a little embarrassed. I did not realize that Can of Bliss was both a beer. I think it's a single beer plus a seasonal selection of beers, correct?
It's really just our platform for IPAs and everything, all the different variations of IPAs. So we have a rotating series that changes three times a year. And then we've done some standalone versions as well that are out all year. A double cannabis and a cannabis resinous, which is, I think that's probably my favorite. I love that beer.
The resiny one.
Yeah. Juice can go into more of the technical stuff with it. But the thing I love about it is it's got like the old school West Coast piney citrus characteristic, but it's wrapped up in this new school sort of mouthfeel, you know, and it's hazy and it's got that kind of smooth finish to it, which is just something that I, you know, it blew my mind the first time I tasted it.
Sign me up. I do like, I love the West Coast stuff. I kind of miss clarity in IPAs and I miss bitterness in IPAs. I hate to say it. I do like what we have, but I miss those things.
I could bring back clarity, but they can keep the bitterness.
You can keep the bitterness. They can keep
it. There's no need for that to come back.
It doesn't need to be 1,000 IBUs anymore because that's ridiculous.
Right.
But, you know, I do miss the West Coast style. It's
yeah.
I think it is making a comeback, but it's not,
We're seeing a few more of them pop up.
It's not the big thing that it once was. So.
Brian, does Rock Solid do a West Coast IPA?
From the West Coast.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Nice.
Juice, a question for you, and this is a very important one. There is a right and wrong answer here. Barley wines, American or English?
English. I'm all about the yeast and malt, and I think it's unnecessary for those additional IBUs.
Right.
I'm looking for the caramel. I'm looking for the toffee notes. I'm looking for the alcohol.
Not in a barley wine, man. Just bring me the malts and toffee.
No need for the IBUs. Yeah.
Right. Well, you're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We do need to take another break, but we'll be back very soon with more from Oscar Blues.
It's Brian and Tim, the Beer Guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the Beer Guys sent you.
Patio season is here, and the Nest in Kennesaw, Georgia has plenty of outdoor space for you to enjoy a cold beer and some tasty barbecue. They've got 48 taps of great beer, wine, cider, and even hard seltzers, plus an impressive craft cocktail list, so there's something for everyone. If you're ready for some friendly competition, head over every Tuesday for trivia, or relax and take in the local talent with live music every Wednesday and Sunday. Enjoy the great weather while you can. Grab your friends and head to the Nest in Kennesaw, Georgia.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Shake it, baby!
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout-out to one of our great radio affiliates, WZUS 100.9 FM in Decatur, Illinois. Catch Beer Guys Radio on WZUS every Saturday at 8 a.m. Now let's get back to Oscar Blues Brewery.
Oscar Blues, we've moved on.
We've
moved on to a new beer. We got Thick Haze. Juice, we were just talking about this on the break. We've got some tropical. We got a little dank in here, too, kind of mixing. It's like Reese's Cup, two great tastes that taste great together here, right?
You got your dank into my tropical? No, right. you got your tropical in my dank.
So.
Yeah, that's the whole point is, I mean, everybody's doing the tropical thing, or everybody likes to try to do a citrus thing, and the goal is to really combine all of those heavy hitters, all those great hop characteristics into one beer. This is the... You know, this is the first legit, you know, publicized New England style IPA that we did on a large scale. I mean, there's been some small batch stuff that we've done in tap rooms, but you might as well go for it if you're gonna, you know, you're gonna bring in the London ale yeast and you're gonna throw in a bunch of Galaxy. You need to have those supporting hops as well. So it's all about balance, but also about being aggressive as well.
It's tasty stuff. I enjoy it.
Indeed.
Aaron, I think this may be another Aaron Baker question. This sounds like maybe another marketing manager question here. So we want to talk a little bit about the Canarchy Collective. So Oscar Blues is a member of the Canarchy Collective. And I think if I saw right, there's 7 breweries and it looked like a hydration beverage.
That's right. Yeah, okay. We've got 7 different breweries. Cigar City Brewing is probably the one that most of your listeners are familiar with from down there in Tampa. But we've got, now you're going to put me on the spot naming them all, but Perrin, in Michigan, Deep Ellum in, Texas, Squatters in Wasatch, which are both in Utah, and, Three Weavers, which is in, LA.
I'll have some trivia here for those who don't know this. I think I may have shared this on the show before, but Wayne Wombles, the head brewer, brewmaster at Cigar City, was a brewer in Atlanta. And Hoonipoo's actually got its start as a batch at Owen Ogletree's Cask Ale Festival.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So the first iteration of Hoonipoo's was brewed for a festival here in Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah.
And then he went down there to Cigar City, and Hoonipoo's became the
big thing,
the legend that it is now. Yeah. So
the anchor for an entire week of beer.
A cool little attachment here. It's good stuff. So being part of the collective. Does each brewery still get to maintain their own identity and kind of do their thing?
Yeah, I mean, what I always tell people is we've we've intentionally kept a lot of things separated. And obviously I'm in marketing. So all of we have separate marketing departments at each brewery. Mm-hmm. The tap rooms are still very much run. You know, tap rooms are like the heart of any brewery. That's really where, you know, those interactions between brewers and customers and, you know, being embedded in a community, that's all about the tap room. So all that stuff is still separate. It's a lot of the boring stuff that is integrated, you know, like HR, super boring, finance, very boring.
Lame.
But HR is so boring until they call you into their office. Then yeah. Not so boring.
Right. Yeah. But I will say on the brewing side, and Juice can go into this more, but what the collective brings to us is a huge amount of buying power on the raw ingredient side. And really just like the research and development and like getting into hops that aren't, you know, available to all breweries, because we've got the buying power of seven breweries to go to those hop suppliers, sure, and be like, right. these are the hops that we want. So we do get access to some stuff early on, and Juice is certainly the beneficiary of that. And that's where, you know, we were talking about those smash beers. That's where we try a lot of that stuff out.
So is that the main benefit of being part of the collective? The group buying power, obviously, but distribution perhaps, or something else? Is there more to it than that? Or is it really kind of a buying organization?
No, definitely distribution and just, you know, having facilities all over the country as well, because we've got production breweries here in North Carolina and in Texas and Florida and Colorado. So we have been able to brew certain beers, like we're brewing Hi-Li here, which is Cigar City's flagship here in North Carolina. And so that means that people up and down the East Coast are getting very fresh Hi-Li, stuff that if it were coming from Tampa wouldn't necessarily be the case. So, you know, getting fresh beer to the beer drinker, that's a huge benefit. And, you know, we were talking about checking the dates on the bottom of cans earlier. Those dates are getting better from us, because of the collective and being able to, get that fresher beer to people faster.
Fresh beer is best, man.
It is.
Keep cold, drink fresh, Brian.
Get it faster and get it now. And cold. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, man. People look at organizations like this, and do people kind of equate you with Big Beer as being an organization like this? I guess that's the question, because there is, you've got people like AB InBev, or organizations like AB InBev that have gone through buying breweries up, and it's generally considered a bad thing. How is this collective different? I guess is what my question is how would this be different than Big Beer buying a brewery up?
Yeah, we get that question a lot. And I think, you know, the difference is that we're still operating, you know, like we were before we were in the collective. I mean, there's not a whole lot of noticeable difference on the side that, you know, Juice is on, which is the most important thing, developing new beers and getting beers to the beer drinker. So there's no changes there. You know, we're still, I mean, Oscar Blues is still a tenth the size of Sierra Nevada. So I don't think we can be considered Big Beer. We still are a pretty scrappy bunch. And we're, you know, going back to the taproom thing, that's what's been important to me, you know, in joining the collective, is that taproom culture and like being part of the community, which is a huge part of like Dale's background, the founder, there in Lyons, Colorado. You know, that's a tiny mountain town in Colorado. Brevard in North Carolina is a tiny mountain town. And, you know, from the beginning, we wanted to be, you know, a huge part of the community and just give back as much as possible. Dale always tells the story about, you know, he would know when his kids got in trouble at school because there was somebody at the restaurant there in Colorado telling them about it before they were even home, you know. And that's the same vibe that we've got across our tap rooms, even though, you know, we've expanded to different states. And, you know, that's just core to who Oscar Blues is. And it's great that we've been able to hold on to that.
My whole goal is to carry through the company, you know, as one of the faces of Oscar Blues. But we don't carry ourselves in the same light that Cigar City does or Deep Ellum does. Like, each individual brewery has their own identity and their own personality. They're managing themselves. We have a Kiernaki, you know, vice president of brewing operations that helps oversee everything, but it's all about putting the right materials, the right prices in the right hands. But, you know, I still feel like I work for the original Oscar Blues that I started with,
okay,
you know,
gotcha.
Years yeah. and years ago. So that it's hard to feel that, you know, we've grown out of touch with that stuff. It's still important to the company. And it's my main goal is to maintain that vibe and that feel.
A collection of companies that have come together to, you know, do various things like distribute beer and buy hops, yeah. I guess. Yeah. That's what it seems yeah. like.
And you know, when it comes to the larger breweries, like I would put Oscar Blues as one of the larger breweries, but you mentioning you're like a tenth of the size of Sierra Nevada. I never would have realized there was that much of a difference in size.
Nor would I.
But that's, I remember Sam Cook talking one time, and he made the comment, this was years ago, so I'm sure it's changed, but he made the comment that Budweiser dumps more beer on the floor than he brews in a year. And he's like, that's not an exaggeration. He's like, that's legitimate. So
no, that's real. That's right. Real stuff.
Yeah. Crazy stuff, huh? Well, you're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We need to take another break, but we'll be back right after this with more from Oscar Blues.
Craft beer forged with a reverence for tradition and new styles that start a revolution. Ironmonger Brewing. The brewers at Ironmonger Brewing pride themselves at being masters of barrel-aged, hoppy, and sour beers. They invite you to their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, to taste and see. Also visit their barrel room for an intimate drinking experience with great live entertainment. Keep up to date on all things Ironmonger by liking them on Facebook. Ironmonger Brewing, establishing a new standard in craft beer.
Don't overlook the cheap stuff. That's the idea behind our podcast, Good Swill Hunting.
We've got a beer insider, a beer outsider, and a guy who's going to shoot it to you straight.
We try it all. Some ain't bad.
I'm going to finish this, and I'd drink another.
Matt, what do you think?
I'm digging it.
Others might leave a bad taste in your mouth.
It feels like beer for people who want to feel like they're drinking craft beer.
First sip impression. You
got yeah, it's a letdown.
It's not something I would want to wake up with.
Is that something you normally do?
I like to have a cold beer to kind of rinse out that morning breath.
Oh, okay.
We try the cheap beer so you don't have to. Check out Good Swill Hunting wherever you get your podcast.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like commercial-free episodes and swag. It's great. Now let's get back to Oscar Blues.
That's right, that's right. Juice, we just cracked into your guava rodeo here, and this is sour ale with guava, tangerine, and other natural flavors. What are the other natural flavors in this beer?
That's a great question. Okay. They are made of natural origins, so we'll keep that a top secret.
That's okay. Is that just, you know, I've seen a few breweries that say that. Is that just a way to say that we don't have artificial stuff in this?
It's a guava terpene aroma. So
I think I've asked a trade secret question. Oh, man. I
didn't know there were guava terpenes or like aroma compounds that you could use.
There are compounds that you can put together just a slight amount, because with over 10 pounds per barrel of guava puree and over 2 pounds per barrel of tangerine puree, that's really what digs into the flavor of this product. You know, this beer uses the Saravicier yeast, which is a lactic acid producing yeast. Okay. So this is not a bacteria soured product. We're super happy. We've done some sour Vissier beers in the past that have led us to develop this type of product that we're very stoked about for, especially this time of year, spring and summer. Yeah. It's got a right balance of lactic acid. It's tart, but we didn't want it too tart and too polarizing for people that are, you know, apprehensive of trying sour beers, but also not too fruity. So we tried to find, we felt we found a nice little middle lane there where we'd have that tartness and that fruitiness as well.
You know, I will say this from your description of what you were going for with this beer, as I'm drinking it, I think you absolutely nailed everything you were going for with it, because indeed, I'm thinking the fruit's there, but it's not like fruity. Yep. It's not a sweet fruity beer. It's got a nice tartness to it, which that sour vicia yeast is, that's pretty cool stuff.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's just incredible yeast that, you know, within 24 hours just drops that pH down where you would, it would take, you know, months for certain bacteria to kind of do that. So, and it's, you know, it's very clean. It's very predictable. We've gotten to a really good groove in a production level, which is hard to do when you're trying to produce a sour beer, you know, quickly on a large scale.
Yeah. And I think the bottom of my can of Guava Rodeo appropriately says, giddy up, cowboy. So I think that fits for a rodeo beer there.
It's absolutely a Guava Rodeo.
It's a good brunch beer too, I
sure
think.
Sure enough.
It's,
oh yeah.
It's like, you know, perfect for early mid morning drinking.
You could beer most of the heck out of this.
Oh yeah.
This, yeah. My can says shake well to mix in fruit.
See, I didn't shake mine at all, man. All my fruits.
That seems like dangerous recommendations right there. Yeah,
that is not nice. That is not a nice thing to say to people.
Shake well, point towards face when opening. Right. So
this is top secret new information, but I get a buzz, so I'm gonna say it. So we just brought in a slushy machine to one of our tap rooms.
Okay.
And this is gonna be one of the brands that we're going to feature with other additional purees added to it. And also, you know, tiki inspired type slushy ales as well from small scale. So that'll be coming to our Longmont tap room.
Juice, I believe I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you do those slushies, you have to up the sugar content a bit to get them to form correctly. Is that accurate?
You do. Yeah. There's a certain like bricks, you know, number. Well, I believe it's 13. Not that I haven't been working on it, but you might have to back sweeten your product, you know, and
okay,
it doesn't work for extremely high alcohol beers as well. Cause I saw a future of potential barrel aged stouts, but you know, you have to get ice and you need a certain ABV level. You need a certain sugar content. So most purees that you get are kind of low in bricks and low in pH and very tart. So you can back sweeten potential simple syrups, stuff you would do for high end cocktails, you know, and tiki drinks. So
I've never thought about pastry stout smoothies, but now that you've planted that seed in my head, I really want that to work out.
Well, it's like frappuccinos from the early 2000s.
Yeah. Hold on, now we're talking coffee.
Chocolate espresso cheese. Yeah.
Same thing.
Affogato.
Yeah.
See?
Tim, I'm just going to say, Guava Rodeo Micheladas.
Guava Rodeo Micheladas?
I think this would work well.
See, you're on a roll with horrible ideas today.
Oh, I think this would be beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. So.
With tomato juice?
Yeah.
See?
Oh, I think this would be great.
That's not recommended by the Oscar Blues.
There you go. Brian, Nate, I want to see if we can time this out. So be ready with the trombone. Brian, what was your suggestion?
Guava Rodeo Micheladas.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh man.
We should probably get into the Death By series,
guys. Moving on here. Death By, and if I heard correctly, next one coming out, we got some Death By Flapjacks. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah,
yes, that's correct.
So we've been playing around with the Death By series, originated with Death By Coconut, obviously, which sort of took on a life of its own and became kind of a cult beer for us. And that still comes out every September. And so that's still a part of the series, but last couple of years, we expanded that series to include a couple different beers throughout the year. We had Death by King Cake, which came out, you know, for Mardi Gras. And actually, somebody mentioned affogato, which I can't believe the word affogato came up. We did a death by. I don't know if you guys were trying to push that segue. If you were, that's a very good radio trick.
We were playing on it. We were trying. Thanks, Aaron. I'm glad you picked up on that. Yes.
Well done.
That was solid.
Yeah. We did Death by Affogato last summer with vanilla. And coffee. And so this year, Juice came up with Death by Flapjacks. So I'll let him kind of intro that. It's going to come out in the next two to four weeks.
So, I mean, essentially, it's an English porter, which is a kind of a brown porter, you know, looking for that maple syrup color and hue in the malt bill. A little bit of lactose for mouthfeel and that, you know, that back end sweetness. But it has maple syrup and it has a little bit of nutmeg and it also has a little bit of lemon peel, just to give all those, you know, that buttermilk kind of depth with the combination of lactose and then lemon peel and, that maple syrup being a huge hit. So it is what it says. I mean, it's a nice little malty sweet, you know, caramel, you know, maple syrup bomb, and it's something fun to do. It's something fun to take a dessert or a breakfast, you know, dish and take those ingredients that make up that particular recipe and try to turn them into a beer and find your balances within it. So we're excited about it. Looking forward to seeing what people think.
Yeah, Brian, you've been over there being quiet, man, but you said them pastry stouts are your jam, right?
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, so some Death by Flapjacks.
I want a double size pint glass. I'll call it a double stack. Pour two of them in there.
There you go.
See, I'm on board.
You got it, man. Yeah. You got it. Well, guys, we've got a little bit of time left here. So other than the Death by beers and that, what should folks be looking out for there from Oscar Blues?
Well, we mentioned the Cannibalis series earlier. That's our kind of IPA playground that we play around with. So we've got some updates coming up for Cannibalis, new flavors and innovation there. And you know, we're messing around with the tiki thing.
Cool.
Good. We've got some tiki stuff coming out. And
that's been a passion for a few of us employees within the company. But it's fun to try to take like a spice, take a sweetener and take a puree and make a beer out of it. So we have a lot of work that we've been put into, especially on the small scale, and where you see these beers that are available in our tap rooms. So you have to go to the tap rooms to get
go
all
to the
things
tap room.
You can't get in Kansas.
Try them out, man. Sounds good to me.
Tiki's in the tap room.
Yep, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. Coming up next week, we're going to be talking to the people from Philly Loves Beer about Philly Beer Week. For more craft beer info, follow us online. We are Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week, and don't forget to drink local. Cheers.